back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. William Herring was 23 years old and battling bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. He was in a Broward County jail after being arrested for sleeping on a bench at a bus stop. He died just before Christmas in 2012. It was ruled a suicide by fasting, not eating. Kathy Cather is his mother.
I thought that they would be able to somehow force him, you know, even if it meant putting him in the hospital and force feeding him.
Herring refused to take his mental health medicine, eat, or drink.
The Sun Sentinel, she spoke to the Sun Sentinel for its investigation into the delivery of mental health care to Broward County jail inmates. Now, the county says Herring died 5 weeks after being released. The investigation found he was not given medication while in jail, and the medical examiner ruled that his death was influenced by his mental illness. Almost 4,000 people were in Broward County jails last month, 4 out of 10 on mental health medicine. Many are cared for by a private health care company based in Miami, Armor Correctional Health Services. It receives about $25 million a year for its work. The Sun Sentinel investigation found cases in which Armor was not delivering medicine to inmates, not caring for inmates, and not sharing its investigation into the death of inmates with the Broward Sheriff's Office. So who's responsible for the health of jail inmates in Broward County, and how is taxpayer money being spent? How are mental health services delivered behind bars? That's up next here on the Florida Roundup, 800-743-WLRN, 1-800-743-9576. Stephen Hobbs is the reporter behind the investigation for the Sentinel. He joins us now. Stephen, what was the takeaway here in terms of where the responsibility lies for the mental health of these inmates when they are incarcerated in Broward County jails?
Thank you very much for having me, Tom. The first thing I think is people have a right to refuse medication, mental health medication especially, and that is also for inmates. But there are certain circumstances where if someone is in imminent danger or in cases where there's a long-term concern, jail medical staff are empowered to kind of step in. If it's a long-term issue for mental health care, if someone is refusing for a long period of time, that's where jail medical staff could go to the courts, for example, and ask a judge to say, this person really needs help. We need to try to get them mental health medication.
And did you find that was the case when it came to the cases you reviewed involving Armor?
So no. So we reviewed the cases. Armor has been the medical provider in the Broward Jail since 2004. And we found that they've only one time in 2006 have requested a judge to do this, and that was approved in less than 24 hours. We found a deposition where a psychiatrist said that they'd given up asking judges, and we found no evidence that that was actually the case. We found that they were not asking judges to do this. And, you know, judges may or may not approve it, but it's just that effort of going there to say, you know, can we get this person mental health medication?
Lieutenant Colonel Keith Neely is on the telephone with us. The Lieutenant Colonel is the Director of Detentions for Broward County Jails. Lieutenant Colonel, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for your time today.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Talk to me a little bit about oversight and who makes the decision in the case of going to a judge to have an inmate, a mentally impaired inmate, be forced to take medication. Is that the sheriff's office? Is that the prosecutor's office? Is that Armor's responsibility?
So, Tom, let me first start out by just giving you a little take from our perspective in terms of what we took away from the article. It was, in looking at this in its totality, it was certainly sensationalized and, in my opinion, unbalanced in looking at the deaths. And it seems to have taken an effort, a very strong effort, to depict Armor as being deliberately indifferent for these inmates' well-being. Tom, I want you to know, and I certainly want the listening audience to know and understand, that our system, during the time frame that Mr. Hobbs looked at, we booked in almost over a half million of inmates into our system in that time frame. And what the article fails to capture is that the population that we're charged to care for tend to have very poor and complicated social, medical, mental health histories, and they often come to us after long periods of receiving little or no treatment, you know, with the inadequate and the unfunded, fragmented community-based system that we have here. And I want you to know that there are absolutely, when we get an individual who is in a state that is in need of care beyond what we can do in the jail facilities, these individuals are taken to the hospital for a continuum of care. And absolutely, if there's a need for an individual, and we've done this countless of times, to go before the courts to get them released, get them bay corrected. Those things do occur, and that occurs through our medical provider, which is Armour. And Mr. Hobbs is absolutely correct. They've been our provider since 2004.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Lieutenant Colonel. The Baker Act will allow, in this case, the Sheriff's Department to hold somebody against their will. But as Stephen was articulating, one of the systemic issues that they found was the apparently unwillingness on the part of the healthcare provider here to go to court to have an inmate take medication in instances when that would be beneficial.
Well, I wouldn't agree with the word of unwillingness to go to the courts. There are certainly many avenues that the medical provider can take in terms of managing the individual on site, managing the individual by sending them out to the hospital. And absolutely, the Baker Act is certainly another tool. And, of course, going to the courts, you know, as Mr. Hobbs indicated, as well.
But the, correct me if I'm wrong, again, the Baker Act, does it relate to forced medication?
It doesn't necessarily relate to that. But when I'm not speaking to any one individual specific case, but what I'm referring to, if that need is there, based upon that individual need.
Stephen, what did you find in terms of oversight with this private healthcare provider and the Sheriff's Department?
Well, I think one of the things that we found was that Armour does their own reviews after an inmate dies in custody. And in some of those instances, there were details in those reviews that were not in the Sheriff's Office in investigations that they do.
How'd you get a hold of the Armour death review if they weren't part of a public record at the Sheriff's Department?
You know, we obtained them through just our own reporting.
Okay.
And came up with them, and that's where we were able to compare the publicly available things, as you mentioned. And there was one instance which comes to mind where there was an individual who did not receive mental health medication for 12 days before he actually hanged himself in the jail, and that was mentioned in the review from Armour, but it was not mentioned in the Sheriff's Office investigation. Part of that was because Armour sees those as proprietary information and also, you know, feels that they're bound by privacy laws to not share them.
So, Lieutenant Colonel, let's talk about this death investigation for those inmates that do die while in custody. What is the responsibility? What does the contract hold for what the private health care provider needs to provide to your department?
Well, yeah, Tom, it's important to point out that Armour does not conduct the death investigation. Their mortality reviews is a part of their internal process to identify areas that can be improved. A full investigation of each and every death that occur in custody is conducted by the Broward Sheriff's Office. And it's important to point out that every death, when that does occur, when those unfortunate events do occur, there is a joint meeting that is held between BSO and Armour staff where both entities come into the room and we discuss and we share details on the case to ensure that both agencies are addressing any deficiencies that are identified in an expeditious manner. So, again, it kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier that the story was somewhat sensationalized. The wording implies that BSO is, that it implies that, by not giving us a copy of that mortality review, mm-hmm. that they're withholding findings, which is simply not factual.
So, Stephen, go ahead.
I just wanted to add one thing. There was one investigation that we looked at where there was a detective was on the case, and then he was trying to find out some more details about what happened, and he contacted someone from Armour. And the representative from Armour said that, they couldn't share those details, couldn't get that information. So, there was an instance where I think a sheriff's office detective was trying to get more information for their investigation and was not able to.
So, Lieutenant Colonel, I understand two different death investigations. There's one on the part of the Sheriff's Department that is an official investigation, mortality investigation, and then Armour perhaps may look at it for operational reasons. But are they under an obligation to share with you that data or that finding with your department, considering that they are the exclusive healthcare provider?
Absolutely, Tom. If there's information that we need, Armour would not withhold that from us. So if that did occur, that may have been an isolated incident that I'm sure was corrected. I'm not familiar with what Mr. Hobbs is speaking to directly offhand currently, but I will tell you that, yes, we are privy to all information. In fact, every case that occurs in those manners in that particular manner, we are privy to the medical file. We're privy to all documents related to that individual so that an investigation can be done thoroughly.
Lieutenant Colonel Keith Neely is along with us, Director of Detention at Broward County. Stephen Hobbs is a reporter for the Sun Sentinel, the author and the reporter on the Sun Sentinel investigation, looking into especially mental health care delivery at Broward County jail lockups. Let's go to Siobhan. She is joining us from Hollywood. Siobhan, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead, your thoughts.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I'm a registered nurse, and I think people sometimes have a tendency to look down upon the mentally ill, and then it becomes even more so when they are criminals. And I just think some of the cases were just heartbreaking when you read about them. And I would just hope that people in the jail system and other people might take the stories that the Sentinel published a little bit more seriously and really urge people for more compassion and better mental health treatment for those in the jails. We have so many people who are suffering from substance abuse and mental illness, and that seems to be such a large portion of the jail population that perhaps if we addressed that problem more comprehensively, there might not be the tragedies that the paper talked about. So thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Appreciate your thoughts on this. Lieutenant Colonel Neely, let me put that back to you. You mentioned some of these inmates that wind up in the system have gone through the social safety network and have fallen through. Doesn't that put even more of an impetus on the quality of delivery that the vendors that your sheriff's department and the county works with in terms of delivering those mental health services behind bars?
And absolutely, Tom. And I will assure you that the same standard of care that you find in the community, you will find in the jail. And Siobhan brings up an excellent point, because we recently identified the top 100 utilizers of the jail services, you know, by inmates with mental illnesses. We identified them in our system, and, you know, pulling that data, what we revealed was really astounding. They accounted for over 3,000 bookings into our system and accounted for over 184,000 bed days. And when you think about that revolving door, you have to wonder about the gap that we have in our community. But there is some good news, Tom. I will tell you that, and that's why I think there should be another article to this story, to not only cover some of the things that might be that was a little misleading, but also to cover some of the good things that are occurring not only in the jail but as well in the community, because Henderson Behavioral Health was recently granted a grant for a centralized receiving system. Now, this is all brand new, so it might be breaking news for some, but for those of us that work in the community in dealing with this population, we understand the importance of having this system. And it's very important for, you know, your listening audience to know that what this central receiving system will do for Broward County is ultimately divert individuals away from the jail system that are in the situation that Siobhan just discussed.
Where would it divert them?
With the poor.
Lieutenant Colonel, where would it divert them to? To the community sources that perhaps they've slipped through already?
Correct. And Tom, that's the purpose of this grant, is to close that gap. Mm-hmm. And what it will do is send them to these portals that Henderson Health Clinic will set up in the county that will provide them some, hopefully, services that will be long-term and sustaining to keep them out of the criminal justice system. That's the ultimate goal.
Lieutenant Colonel Keith Neely, the head of detention at Broward County, Stephen Hobbs, reporter for the Sun Sentinel. Stephen, you heard the Lieutenant Colonel call your reporting sensationalized and unbalanced. Do you have a response?
Well, I think we stand by what we say, and we wanted to put the facts out there and the information that we found in our reporting and looking at the deaths, the recent deaths. So, you know, we stand by what we put out there, but appreciate the opportunity to continue the dialogue with the Lieutenant Colonel and other members of Armor and the Sheriff's Office to further talk with them about this issue.
Significant amount of public resources involved here with mental health and mental health and detention in Broward County. That certainly shines a spotlight on it for the investigation and your comments from the director of the detention, Lieutenant Colonel Neely. We appreciate your time today. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful. We got more to come here on the Florida Roundup this week. The last Zika zone is lifted in South Florida. That's next.